Hey, everybody, and welcome back to No Fate, a Terminator podcast where we cover just about everything Terminator-related, from the films to the Sarah Connor Chronicles television series to probably more as we continue on with the show. I'm your host, Michael John Petty, and with me is Tanner Radwick, and we have not recorded an episode in a while, so we are really sorry for those of you who have gotten really into our show, and all of a sudden there is no more content. We're back.
We are back. And we're ready to talk some Terminator. It's going to be good.
It is going to be good. So today, this is a short episode, guys. It's going to be really quick. And the only reason we are doing that right out of the gate is because we want to answer some of your guys' questions. The plan is to release the next episode where we cover the Sarah Connor Chronicles pilot pretty soon after this. So stay tuned. Don't worry. It's all gonna come together. We promise. So we'll just jump right in. We'll just jump right into the mailbag. So our first email comes from Jay Ross, who says, was watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles again and noticed in the pilot. Ooh, so this is pilot related. So that's exciting.
Good.
Cromartie stops and says, class dismissed, rather than saying nothing and actually shooting John. But instead, he gets run over by Cameron. It's a little thing, but why do they make the killing machines comic relief like in Dark Fate? The Terminator says sorry about your shed after landing on it from the plane. Sorry about the rambling. Just wanted to know if you guys like the comedic formula they use or if it should be just the humans who make the jokes. So thanks so much for your email, Jay. Really appreciated that. I think we kind of got into that before on our episodes on Terminator Genesis and even on Dark Fate. We talked about that briefly, but Tanner, what is your immediate thought to that? Do you like the comedic formula that they're using with the Terminators, even if it's just like a subtle one-liner, or do you think that's consistent with the Terminator franchise?
Well, and this is a good instance that he brought up, is the classroom scene, because there is there's a difference between doing it very directly and also doing it indirectly. You know, some of the earlier movies, I think they could get away with it because it would be something pretty subtle. Maybe in T2, when, you know, he's like Uncle Bob, like questioning that kind of thing. Something quirky like that, that kind of makes sense in that sense. But something as direct as like a one-liner where he turns around and looks at the class, class dismissed. I didn't like that scene myself. I remember when I first tried watching this series, before you gave it to me, I watched a little bit of the first episode, I think, and I turned it off, and then you convinced me to give it another try. I think that might have been one of the things that I was like, ooh, is the whole show going to be like this? which, thankfully, it's not as – I don't think it gets quite as bad. I think that's a great example of the extreme that they push it to. Mm-hmm. The rest of the series I don't think goes quite that far with it. Although it does have some moments like that. But again, it's kind of a matter of how over the top is it? Do they go with the humor there? If it's more subtle like that, I think it works. Or not like that. If it's more subtle, I don't mind it so much. I can think of some scenes where it works, but in that scene, I'm not a fan.
Sure. I think, in my point of view, the Jedi are evil. No. I think that in that specific
you
example...
Are lost.
in the Sarah Connor Chronicles pilot, I think it's funny. I don't know. I kind of like it. And part of the reason I like it, I think, is because in my mind, Terminators are still supposed to be infiltrators. And so there's this element of, even though it has this massive hole showing the robot parts in its leg, it's still like trying to infiltrate like a little bit. And I think that's kind of funny. I don't know. I don't mind that. Like that in the scene in Dark Fate that Jay mentions where the Terminator falls through the shed and is like, sorry about your shed, and walks away. I like those. I don't think those are bad. I think those are kind of funny. I think we get instances in the earlier films with Arnold that are similar to that, that are just like quick little things. And then, I don't know. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's bad. I think when it goes overboard is something like Genesis, where there's just constant comic relief coming from your Terminator character with like pops in that film. I think that's where maybe it goes too far.
Well, especially like the Bad Boys cops montage. It just takes it out of the Terminator universe in a sense, and it feels like we mentioned Guardians before, much more akin.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. So depends on how much it takes you out of that. But I think something to keep in mind as well is that in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, of course, these models are 888s. Yeah. They are not T-800s,
yep,
like Arnold's model, which is, you know, more clunky and old. And, you know, these are supposed to be better infiltrators,
yep,
a little bit smarter. Even the T-850 in Terminator 3 is supposed to be that as well. So yeah, this 888, maybe, you know, they're more quirky that way. They can try and emulate the human behavior a little more. So yeah, maybe it can get a pass through that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, thanks so much for your email, Jay. We're going to move on to the next email, which is from Philip Walker. This one's a little bit of a longer one, so bear with me, guys. Philip says, "Hey, first of all, I love your podcast and would love to hear more. I learned a lot from it." Well, great. Here we are. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Super happy to hear that. Yeah, absolutely.
"Just a comment / difference of opinion I'd share."
Ooh, good.
"I didn't dislike Genesis as much as you guys, although did see a lot wrong with it, but some cool stuff. I thought it was interesting how you spoke about Arnie in Genesis and then the Arnie Terminator in Dark Fate. Although I prefer Dark Fate as a film, I found the Arnold in it much more problematic for this reason. In Genesis, Arnold was the protector sent to protect Sarah as a child. He then became this weird, goofy uncle type figure as Pops. Now, although I agree it was not a great Terminator role, it seemed congruent and made sense to me, similar to the T2 Arnie, who was a protector to John, and how this could have progressed if Uncle Bob had not melted in steel. In Dark Fate, though, the Terminator was a programmed killing Terminator, whereas I think the idea in the movies is cool of conscious awareness developing, like what we saw with Cameron in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is cool. For me, this Arnie just seemed a bit silly and not convincing. If you think the Terminator in T1, there's just no way ever that that machine is going to be raising a family and patting a dog, which detects Terminators, by the way. It almost seemed a bit of a joke in ways. I liked Dark Fate, but saw a lot of problems with it as a generic rehash, which was a shame. I still hope for some new, passionate, different directions to the franchise like we saw in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. A great follow-on from T2, I agree. I just thought I would share my particular point of disagreement with the Terminators in Genesis and Dark Fate, and this unconvincing incongruence in my view, which just seemed a way, not so great one, to have a good Arnie Terminator and continue and generically rehash a new story while neglecting fundamentals like killing John Connor and replacing with a new one. I thought, again, the Pops in Genesis made much more sense as a character in the Terminator universe. Cheers, and look forward to more. Phil." Well, thanks so much for your thoughts, Phil. I really appreciate that. That's some really good and interesting insight. I don't think I thought about that as deeply as you did. I think I got so stuck on the tone of the films that I didn't think about the in-universe in terms of Terminator as a whole explanation like you're talking about. Because Genesis, to me, like we talked about in our episode, felt very much like a Marvel movie. It felt very much like it was this action comedy blockbuster that was trying to imitate something from the past but put this more Marvel spin on it. Whereas Dark Fate, to me, felt more, in terms of tone, familiar,
darker,
or darker or correct when it came to it being a Terminator film. Like, it felt more like a Terminator movie to me than Genesis did. And so in that context, I just kind of went with it, and I kind of went with the Carl Terminator coming to this place of adapting and learning, kind of like a progressed Uncle Bob in some ways. Now, obviously, he didn't have a John Connor to teach him those things, but he kind of alludes to the fact that his wife, Celia, was that for him. And so I kind of just went with it. Whereas in Genesis, yeah, it makes sense in terms of the film because he was raising Sarah, and in a sense, Sarah was kind of raising him too with all this pop culture knowledge and all that stuff. But it just feels silly compared to the other. And I think mostly that's because of the tone of the movie. But what do you think, Tanner?
I think he has a really good point in the sense of Genesis. What it does have going for it is that you are getting another protector role that you're used to in the Terminator formula. So I think continuing that and kind of showing what maybe Uncle Bob would have become had he not been melted, I think that's a good point to bring up. It just so happens that it was with Sarah as opposed to John. So that makes sense to me. I guess I think our problem with it was more so just the handling of that movie in general in terms of the type of comedy that they were trying to introduce to it that maybe wasn't sticking that well. But as far as the formula of a protector Terminator, that part totally makes sense to me. Whereas Carl, well, yes, he's protecting Danny and whatnot. That wasn't necessarily his whole deal. I agree with it a lot in the sense of it. If you start thinking about the Terminator from the first movie, had it accomplished its mission, what would that Terminator do? And I've always thought about that. And I've told you before, I think I've said it on air. Sometimes I just pictured them going into a warehouse and turning themselves off and not caring what happens, you know?
I agree with that, and I think the Sarah Connor Chronicles kind of gets into that later on in the show when they send Terminators back to different points in the past, and they're basically like on standby mode until they're activated or ready. And I agree. I feel like that's exactly what the Terminator would have done had it killed Sarah Connor in the first film.
And then I guess with Carl in Dark Fate, they don't, I mean, you have a million questions and they don't answer very many of them. As soon as like he gives his explanation for why he's there, why he has a family, you're like, wait. Explain that some more. You what? How long have you been with this person? There's a son, and the son and the wife don't know you're a machine. Do they know you're a machine? They don't. Okay, they don't? Okay. But they don't dive into it a ton. They give a pretty basic explanation. Obviously, they didn't want to have to explain it because it's not a very good explanation, I don't think. And of course, I mean, at the end of the day, what they're really doing, whether it be the Genesis Arnold or the Dark Fate Arnold, they're trying to come up with an excuse for why Arnold looks old, is what it comes down to. You know, so for me, I guess maybe the more compelling reason of why he looks old would be the Genesis version, maybe. They're both essentially the same, that they've been sitting around. But at least the Genesis version, he's been doing something with Sarah that whole time instead of something odd. I don't know. It was something for him to explore. If they ended their mission, what would they do? And just the idea of, you know, it learning to become more human and have a conscience and think outside of what Skynet wants it to think, you know, that they wanted to explore that a little bit. But in the Terminator universe, how well did it work? I think it was mixed for a lot of people.
Which I think is part of why people have such stark opinions on the films, on those last two films. I think that's a huge factor. I think also when you have Arnold looking relatively the same between the first three films, and yes, he does age, and yes, he does look different, but relatively compared to the last two films, and then you show him, or at least a young mod T-800 model in Salvation, you kind of write yourself into a corner having to explain, okay, now why does he look old? Because we want him in this movie because he sells, but now we have to explain why. And I think that's hard, especially when something like the Sarah Connor Chronicles explains that Terminators don't age. That's a hard sell. So I think Phil brings up some really good points.
I do. Well, and then, I mean, it also goes into a little bit in the Sarah Connor Chronicles of, you know, I mean, they start, of course, they couldn't cast Arnold for it, but, you know, the question of they plastered the exact same face over all these Terminator models, and now they figured out they should send them back with different faces now for the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And I remember I talked to my buddy once about the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I was talking to Kyle. And he brought up, he goes, oh, that show? Yeah. He goes, I watched it some, and I just remember watching it and going, oh man, I wish Arnold Schwarzenegger was in this. Which I don't blame him.
But yeah, those are our thoughts, Phil. Thank you so much for writing in, and I hope you continue to enjoy the show. And then our last email is from John Davies. And John says, hi guys, just thought I'd drop a quick message to say how much I'm loving these podcasts. Aw, thank you.
That's awesome.
I could sit and talk Terminator with somebody all day. I've been a huge fan from the age of about 8. Ever since I've seen Arnold in T2, wow. Cooler than any superhero I know. I never really understood the plot back then, so I remember having my dad with a pen and paper explaining the storyline to me. And now at the age of 33, I still love it more than ever. Every year without fail, I'll pick a weekend to have a T1 and T2 night because, yes, I'm one of those fans who believes that there's only two movies in this franchise. Not sure if you have any future podcasts planned, but something I often think about is where I would have taken T3 if I was directing. Seeing as James Cameron thought the story was over, which it probably was to be fair, I think the fact Judgment Day actually happened in T3 missed the whole meaning of T2. I think my T3 would be set mostly in the future, seeing the war that could be, but it would all be from the daydreams and nightmares of John and Sarah, who are in the present time, trying to hide away from the authorities, waiting for August 29th to come and go with fear. Would love to know how your T3 would have looked. Anyways, all the best to you guys from John, all the way across the pond in St. Helens, England. Hasta la vista, baby. I should have been reading that in a British accent. What was I doing?
Oh no.
Well, I guess we got to go back and read it again. No, I'm kidding. John, thank you so much for your thoughts and for how much you love the show. We're really grateful that there's Terminator fans out there who really love us and love listening to us. And we really enjoy talking Terminator as well. That's why we started this podcast in the first place. And we appreciate that. Tanner, what would your ideal T3 look like? Because I have an idea of what I think you're going to say. And I think my answer would be pretty similar. But I want to know from your mouth what your ideal version of that film would have been.
Well, I before I answer that too, I think he brings up an interesting point of that Cameron's Terminator series ended at 2, and we kind of have to we have so many different branches that go from 2. We also have to consider the branch that maybe just ends at 2 as well. And I would argue that's one of my favorite branches actually myself. You and I both don't hate Terminator 3 as much as some people do. But I also kind of like the ending of T2, thinking that, hey, they actually did stop it and there is no fate but what we make for ourselves. Whereas Terminator 3 says literally, Judgment Day is inevitable. So I guess there is fate. So no, the idea that it stops there, I don't mind that. Obviously, I want more content. I enjoy those other movies. But as far as wrapping up a story and just watching those two and being okay with that, I'm okay with that. I wouldn't need to watch another one necessarily. Usually when I'm in a Terminator mood, I could probably watch just one or just two and be okay. I wouldn't necessarily feel like, oh man, I have to watch three now. I have to watch Salvation, all of that kind of thing as well. So that's interesting to me. As far as what I would have done had I made a three, I talked about it a little bit before, but I would have loved a future set story similar to what he had mentioned, but maybe focusing on Kyle and leading up to the final battle where they attack the Skynet headquarters and where they actually send him back, and that's how the movie would end. And then that would give you this epic loop to be able to keep watching just for infinity. I would have loved to see that, and it would be like an end to the story by starting at the beginning again. And I think it would have been really beautiful. I'll use that word for it. And emotional too. I think they could have done a really good job with that. But I love his idea of showing the future through the nightmares of John and Sarah, and also seeing them hold out until that date.
I
When
like
they
that
can see
too.
that date go by and have the idea of them having this breath of fresh air when the date passes them and the bombs don't fall. That sounds like an amazing end to that movie. And like that's how it ends, and they know that they did it because there's this question in the back of their mind, did we do it? I don't know that we did. The future's not set, or maybe it ends a different way. I don't know. Maybe the bombs do fall. But yeah, no, I like that idea a lot. What, how about you? What would your ideal Terminator 3 be?
Well, I really like his idea too. I think that's really unique and really interesting, and something I think James Cameron really could have pulled off, had he been thinking that way. When the time when T2 came out, you could have still had Linda Hamilton in her prime and Edward Furlong, and you could have brought back Michael Biehn as Kyle Reese. I think there's a lot you could have done in that, and I think that would have been really cool. That being said, I also would agree more with your answer. I think my ideal T3 would have been something that kind of sets the film series on a loop. Something that goes back to Kyle's initial entrance and Arnold's Terminator's initial entrance into the franchise with the first film. I think seeing Kyle grow up, I think see him being mentored by John, I think seeing that bond and that relationship develop and seeing who John is in the future, kind of helping us understand his role in T2 even more. I think that all would have been really good, really excellent, and that's the movie I would have liked to have seen. It would be really cool if we got some sort of video game that did that, or just anything like that. That's strictly from Kyle's perspective, because I think the first Terminator is kind of a combination of Kyle and Sarah's perspectives. I think the second is definitely Sarah and John, and then the third, you could have had some sort of combination of Kyle and John. And I think that would have been really interesting because it's about their family, ultimately. And I think that would have been really cool to see. So that would have been my ideal T3, I think.
That makes sense. I like that. They, of course, tried to do that. I mean, we got a glimpse of it in Genesis, but of course, it just derails the whole timeline that there is no loop after that. So they teased it, but we didn't quite get it. Thinking about that, though, too, it makes you think there's so much time where you could see Kyle grow up and everything else that, boy, they could have made a whole show based on that, too,
Who
to a
knows?
degree.
Terminator the Kyle Reese Chronicles could happen one day.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be very cool.
They I don't know why I'm blanking on it. What was the Terminator video game that I beat recently I told you about?
Terminator Resistance.
I think you're right. They dabbled in that a little bit. You actually I don't think No, you do meet John Connor at one point. But you do attack Skynet at the very end, spoiler alert, and you know, there is kind of that loop there. So you do get it a little bit. I don't think you ever meet Kyle Reese in that game, from what I remember, but you somewhat get that. People received that game well enough. Terminator fans did that. I even saw people commenting. The only Terminator medium that exists is 1, 2, and Terminator Resistance. They accepted it as the only other
That's really
addition,
funny.
which speaks pretty highly for that game. So, maybe our friend here from across the pond should check that out and see what he thinks. I would be curious to know if he's ever tried watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Because, yeah, of course, you and I both recommend that. Give it a try.
Well, watch it with us.
Oh,
That's what our show's
watch it with
about.
us.
We're going to be reviewing each episode, and every time you disagree with us or agree with us, just let us know and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, happy to get these emails and happy you guys are enjoying it. Please keep emailing if you have any more thoughts on our podcast. We'd love to keep diving into these because just like you, we sit around and talk about this all day and we could. And Michael and I have talked about this stuff forever anyway. It's just so happened we were like, why don't we just start a podcast about this because we talk about it enough. So in addition to that, though, isn't Sarah Connor Chronicles on something right now where you can stream it?
It is. It's on
Is it
Hulu.
Hulu? That's what I thought. Okay. So this is a perfect time for everyone to start watching it now that we're doing this
Yeah,
podcast.
exactly. And with that being said, we're going to close up our mailbag episode. Like Tanner said, guys, please keep emailing us because we will do another one of these at some point and we'll read your guys' thoughts on air and we'll talk about them. And it's really great when we get feedback from you guys and we have a dialogue with you because it really helps us not only create more content that's Terminator related for you, because eventually we're going to run out of TV show episodes or movies to cover. But it also is just really interesting for us to talk about this stuff in a different context and from another point of view. You know, we know our point of views very well, but getting to hear some other people's thoughts is really great. So definitely, if you guys love our show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you guys have iTunes, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would really help us get some more listeners on here as well. So we really appreciate all of you who have been with us from the beginning. And join us for our next episode, where we're going to be covering the first episode of Terminator: The Sarah Connor Chronicles. And if you have not watched it, first of all, if you're a Terminator fan, which if you're listening to this podcast, we know you are, give it a shot. Even if it's a bit of a hard sell for you at first, we promise it will be worth it. If not, at the very least, it'll mean more Terminator discussions here on this show that you can be a part of. So definitely check it out. It's on Hulu. You can find the DVDs online, buy those too if you fall in love with the series. That's what we did. And you can just get involved. We would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the show as we continue to talk about it. So that being said, Tanner, I think we'll wrap this one up.
Okay.
And until next time, which is coming very soon, remember, you are the Resistance.